Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wilson is 4 of 4 on this drive. Harris has the majority of the yards for the team so far. Pickens, catch, run, slips out of there. Touchdown, Pittsburgh! The elusive George Pickens. This is the 10th play of the drive for the Steelers. Shotgun, Wilson fires, end zone! Calvin Austin, touchdown, Steelers! Perfectly timed! Second down and 5. Wilson steps up. Wilson avoids it. Throws on the move and finds Freiermuth for the touchdown. Russell Wilson extends the play. Harris in the backfield. Pitch it to him. Harris. A clear lane to the end zone. Touchdown Steelers.
If he goes zone read, he's likely to keep it here.
He will. And Fields has got the first down, a slide by Fields, and that's gonna do it.
Oh yeah, Bob. Oh yeah. Was that a game, huh? Bob Pompiani sitting across from me. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. Austin City Limits Bechtold to my left, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. But first, I would be remiss if I didn't inquire as to both of your well-beings, plural. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. It's a beautiful Monday, chill in the air. Steelers are rolling right along, showing you they can win in a variety of ways, so I'm good. What about you there, Austin?
Oh, that was a great sports weekend, guys. Just fantastic to watch it all.
This guy might go to the meaningless Big Ten championship game, Bob.
The meaningless Big Ten championship
game.
It
is very meaningful.
It's meaningful. Well, what are you talking about? You go.
It stinks. These championship games stink. But
why?
We didn't
because you add another game to the schedule, which leads to injury maybe. And you
and
may not
also,
be. Well, this is
I was with
this
Penn State.
Is what you get when you add on all this stuff and
right.
keep adding on and adding on. You're going to get these kinds of things.
Well, we didn't come here to talk about that.
But we can later.
We sure will
because
later.
There's a lot going on. West Virginia,
pepper
country
spray,
roads,
pepper
leading
spray,
who home.
Fights, everything else. Pitt season a success. What? Yeah, that was said. Okay.
What?
Let's go.
You said that?
I didn't say that. The head coach said that. Did you see that?
I didn't
see that.
We'll
talk about that later,
Bob.
No, I didn't see
that.
We have to get to the matters at hand. Our opening soliloquies on the meaning of this game. Here's what I would say. And I've been saying for weeks now that a lot would have to happen for me to be dissuaded from the notion that the Steelers have a legitimate shot to make a playoff run. They have a legitimate shot. Why? Because they have a quarterback, finally. It's one thing to be in it, like their apologists would brag about for the past 7 years or the past however many years. They're always in it. Not really. You're not really in it when you're sort of on the edge of being one of the 44% of the teams that make the playoffs, or maybe not. And if you go there, you're going to get blown out in the first round. They have not come close to winning a playoff game in 7 years. They were never really in it. They are now. They are now. This team can win. It's not a prediction. But when I see Russell Wilson cooking like that, I don't care who it was against. And that is a horrendous defense. I don't care who it was against. They've played a lot of bad teams and horrible defenses in the past, however many years. And not since Ben's prime have we seen quarterbacking like that. So I remain convinced more than ever because of what Bob just said. They prove they can win any kind of game. They've won one 18-16 and another one 44-38 within their own division. The Steelers have a quarterback. They have an offense. They could conceivably, and I'm sure y'all saw this guy last night, beat Buffalo if a certain amount of points are needed. Kansas City, if a certain amount of points are needed. Baltimore, for sure. They own Baltimore. So, Bob, what was true was underscored for me anyway yesterday, and that is that this Steelers team, warts and all, and from what I've seen, every team in the AFC has some. Every contender has some. They have a legitimate shot to make a playoff run in the AFC because they have a quarterback.
And Mike Tomlin went a little bit rogue when he went against apparently people in the own building and others in the media who didn't like the fact that Russell Wilson was coming in for a 4-2 quarterback in Justin Fields, but he had never changed. And I can, you know, testify to this based on talking to him and the shows that we do, that he always had him listed number one. And he wanted to see what this offense would look like with Russell Wilson. A lot of people didn't want to see that happen, based on how Justin Fields was playing. And I understand that, but he went and did what he thought was best for this team, and so far it's proving to be right. And you're right. When you have a quarterback who can do what Wilson does, it makes everybody better. And, you know, I'm glad you said with a little caveat that I didn't think Cincinnati was quite that bad defensively, but they're worse than I could have ever thought they were. They really are. They're not a good team. But having said that, they still had to know that they had to go back and forth, and they decided, okay, you know, we're realistic about this. Joe Burrow is going to pass the football on us. He's done on every other team, and there's no reason to think he can't, even against a good defense. What we need to do is outscore him, and they did. And they decided to open it up, 10 different receivers. Everyone touched the ball except Mike Williams. But that was it, and he moved it around great. He got people involved with it. I love the fact, and you've heard me before, Joe, talk about the middle of the field, and I don't mean to do it, but there's a lot of vacancies there. Yesterday, they determined that Cincinnati, on game film, that left the middle of the field open for delayed little over-the-middle tosses to running backs out of the backfield. I counted, they did it 6 different times. You know, that's a lot of times where there's a vacated area in the middle. And maybe that's a product of the Steelers going to the sidelines quite a bit. Whatever the case may be, they went and attacked that part of the game. And Russell Wilson, like a lot of good quarterbacks will do, is he got everyone involved in this. And I think that's a huge benefit. And you can tell the confidence. That's another thing. Teams that win, teams that think they can win, have a better chance of winning. I don't know in the past several years as they went post-Ben Roethlisberger if they had that internal feeling that, you know what, we can stand up to Buffalo, we can go to Kansas City and win. They can. They have the tools to get it done. That's not a guarantee or a prediction, but they do have
the
internal belief that they can do that.
Right. And I think there's a lot of social media backlash from that game, and I love it when my friends text me after the opening soliloquies. One, pump your brakes. Cincinnati gives up 30 points per game, and their so-called elite defense is way overrated. Well, here's what I said to him. So did a lot of other teams give up 30 points a game. The Steelers have played horrible defenses a lot over the past three, four, five, even 5 years. And starting with the ending of that horrifying 11-0 start that turned into a disaster, they're just not able to take advantage of it. So as I mentioned, I don't care who he was playing against. When you put up 500-plus, and I believe that's the most the Bengals ever get up at home, did anybody else put up that many yards on the Bengals this year? I don't think so. Not there. Yeah, that defense stinks. It's one of the worst I've ever seen in this division. One of the worst AFC North defenses I've ever seen. But sometimes the other guys are good too. And Joe Burrow's not good. He's great. He has 30 touchdowns and five picks. I'm watching Josh Allen last night. We're all watching Lamar. Burrow might be the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
MVP caliber play this year, and he's not going to have anything to show for it.
So they made plays when they needed to. It was a net 24. They gave up 31 to the Bengals. They scored one of their own. That's a net 24. You're telling me that going into a game against that offense, I say you better win that game. That is not a terrible defensive performance. Three turnovers.
That's the
as
key.
Well.
Elite defenses do that. They come up with turnovers.
I don't think the Steelers are an elite defense,
but I'm just saying, they come up with turnovers, and that's the difference of the game. And if you saw that game yesterday, you know those were big plays in it. So even when their defense gives up yards and points, they're still making plays to contribute to it at some point. Now, I said halfway through that game, I said, this is, if the Steelers can come up with a couple of stops along the way, they're going to keep scoring. I don't see any resistance from Cincinnati, and that's pretty much how it went. So that's how you beat them. You come up with a couple of stops or turnovers, and you keep doing what you do against their defense. It's hard to believe, Joe. That's just a few years removed from being a defense that was a good defense, and still some of the players on it are still there, same defensive coordinator. I don't know what happened to it. They missed some pieces, obviously.
Yeah, that's
They've lost
they...
some guys in free agency.
Of course.
But
yeah.
They can't. They still have good players
not
on
really.
It.
Not really. They have Hendrickson. Then who?
Then Hubbard. I think Wilson in the middle. He didn't play yesterday.
Done.
Pratt's a very good player. I think Taylor Britt's a good player. There are good players. I'm saying I didn't see the drop-off being that significant, that different.
Well, nobody did. They're horrifying. But as we've now said 10 times, there have been plenty of horrifying teams that the Steelers have faced and not been able to take advantage of to the tune of anywhere close to 44 points and 500-plus yards. And I think some people confuse this as a prediction. And as we both mentioned, I think we're on the same page here. If I had to predict right now, I don't think the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. What I do think, based on all the available evidence, 12 games into the season, which is a pretty large sample size, as they say, Bob, I think they can play with anybody. I do.
Well, I think that's true,
Everybody
too.
Plays with the Chiefs, by the way. Even Carolina plays
Carolina,
with the Chiefs.
Well, Kansas City, though, they still know how to win, I'll say
that. I know.
But they're going to need to do a lot more in the postseason. They can't just show up and say, I'm Kansas City, you're playing at Arrowhead, you're going to lose. They got it. They have to do better what they're doing.
Yes. This year is different. And if they stay healthy defensively, and that would be Cam, TJ primarily, if they stay healthy defensively, Russell Wilson gives them a chance. He does. I mean, I think it's inarguable that he's giving them their best quarterbacking since Ben early in the 11-0 season.
How about that was one of his best games since pre-Denver? That was back in some of his best days
Russ.
In Seattle.
Right.
Right. So
that's all I'm saying is that they have a chance, a real chance, and I haven't felt like that in a while.
No. I do think it's difficult once you move on from a Hall of Fame quarterback to try to find a successor, and they've gone through some bumps in the road. That's not unusual, especially if you look around the NFL. You don't even have to draft where they draft, which is later in the draft. These guys in the top 10 can't get it right. It's hard to find. But this whole situation that became available because Denver decided they're not interested in Russell Wilson and gladly said, we'll dump him on you, and that's the word probably it looked like they were going to use, and we'll pay his salary, which, by the way, I think if you look at the rules of the NFL, you cannot re-sign a guy who's being paid by another team until after the end of the season. There's been some talk about, hey, go against the grain, go against your policy of doing it internally throughout the season and just sign him now. I don't think they can do that per league rules. I got to double check that, but I think that's how it goes. But anyway, you know, Joe, that leads to the question. What do you do in this offseason? If this continues, if this trend continues, even if they don't get to a Super Bowl, but if the offense takes this major stride, the Steelers have got to look at an extension for Russell Wilson. The question is, how long, how much?
I don't think, and I could be wrong, that he's going to go for the big, big money. I don't. I think he's very happy here. I think he's made a ton of money. I think that.
What is the big, big? 50 million a year?
50-plus million,
okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to go to that level.
No.
But he's currently making 40. Would he take less?
Maybe, yeah.
How many years?
Three. Bob, okay. Why are we worrying about that today?
Because it was a topic that came up a lot yesterday, especially on social media, about signing him now. I don't think they can do it per league rules because Denver's paying his salary.
So you mean that, right now, like today?
Yeah, a lot of people say go against their grain of not signing anyone in season, you know, not reach.
I don't think Russell Wilson would be going anywhere this offseason.
No, I think he likes it here. I'm just wondering the cost. Okay, we'll put that aside.
Listen, if he wants big, big money, then it's an entirely different discussion. My gut feel is that he's not going to want that at this point in his career.
He's in the same boat as Brady was. He has a wife who does very well for herself. He's done well for himself. I think what matters is the smile on his face that he's getting from being in this organization playing with these guys. I think that matters more than anything, especially knowing that he's on the back nine. What hole is he on, Joe? He's on the back nine of his career. Is he on 15, the par 5, uphill? It's going to take a lot to get there.
Maybe, but he looked like 2018.
He did.
The unfortunate part for me of watching that was it really underscored the coaching malpractice that occurred in Cleveland by letting Justin Fields throw that ball late in the game, and that is a decision that could maybe cost them the division, maybe cost them the number one seed in the AFC. It was just a mind-blowing decision that they made to sit down their guy at that point in the game and let Justin Fields heave a ball down the field when all you needed was a first down or two to clinch the game. I mean, what were they doing? Now, I guess credit to Tomlin and Artie for getting smart in a hurry and saying no more Justin Fields throwing the ball. They only used him late and only to run.
Which also makes you wonder what Cincinnati was doing on that play. They all took the play fake of a pitch to the left and let him run.
Oh, yeah, they're mindless in addition to soft, slow, disorganized, and everything else.
You talk about situational awareness of what's going on. They had
the same thing happened against
Baltimore.
You knew
he was going to run the game.
Baltimore did the same thing. If he's in the game, he might run.
No, he will run at that stage. He's not going to throw the ball there.
Well, unless it's Cleveland.
But this is different. They had no timeouts, right? That's why they didn't take that holding penalty. Some argue they should have, Cincinnati I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have timeouts. If he throws and it hits the ground, it stops the clock. You do them a favor. There was absolutely no shot that Justin Fields was going to throw that ball. Yet, they went with whatever they thought was going to happen there, and it was terrible.
Your thoughts, feelings, questions, statements, soliloquies, 412-928-9370. I got the feeling, and maybe it was a wrong one, although judging from the text I just got from my buddy, that what was the reaction on the TV post game? Were people calling in what more excited or more complaining?
You know how it goes when we get to reaction Sundays and Mondays and overreaction Sundays and Mondays. A lot of people were impressed. A lot of people still had doubts about their defense because of the yards and the points they gave up. But again, it was Arthur Motes on with me yesterday, and we both agreed that while defenses can give up yards in that situation, they came up with plays when they had to stop Cincinnati. They did.
You're going into a game against Michael Jordan. He's going to score.
Right.
The question is, at key moments in the game, like the first series of the game when they go three and out, like at the end of the first half, when you stop them, questionable call there, stop them, and then you get the ball and drive for a field goal to take the lead.
And TJ Watt stripped it away.
And then when you get turnovers in the second half, too, and you score a touchdown, I'm taking that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jordan's going to get his, okay? Burrow has 30 touchdowns and 5 picks. He might be the best quarterback in the league. He might be. I'd go with Josh Allen first, probably Mahomes and Lamar right in that mix. But Burrow might be, and he'd be the MVP, I think.
Oh,
if they even had a bad defense.
If they were 8-4 instead of 4-8, he'd be leading candidate, I think, for MVP based on those numbers.
If their defense was just bad, they would have a winning record. Instead, it's historically horrific. I get it. But Bob, that decision last week to have Justin Fields throw that ball could have lasting ramifications. It was one of the stupidest decisions. I would go so far as to say of the Tomlin era. I mean, everything's in front of them here. But again, him and Artie got smart in a hurry. So I guess credit to them. In the past two games, listen to this. Russ is 50 for 66 for 684 yards, four touchdowns, and an interception that shouldn't have counted. So really, to me, he's 50 of 65 for 684, four touchdowns and no picks, because that was absolute crap. But even with that interception, on which a penalty should have been called, I mean, all the guy did was grab Pickens by the head and shove him to the
turf.
But
I think what happened there is because he slipped just seconds before then, I think the official thought he fell. And certainly Taylor Britt then grabbed him and pushed him down further. But I think that's why that call was not made. You know what I mean? Because
it was a horrific non-call.
Okay,
but he grabbed him by the helmet and shot. I know
that's going to happen.
But I'm not. Point is, I'm not blaming Russ for that one.
But the numbers beyond that are just spectacular.
It's a passer rating in his last two games, even with that pick of 122.3, which would lead the NFL right now.
Here's a question for you: what was the last time we saw a jet sweep? I haven't seen one. We used to see four games.
Hey, listen, Artie Smith, as we talked about last week, these final six games were going to be a proving ground. He's 1-0. That was big. You turn those field goals into touchdowns.
Right. The red zone was the issue coming in. We talked about it all week. A lot of people did, and they got into the red zone. They didn't even have. They went beyond the red zone and scored touchdowns. So, all in all, you know, a lot of points were going to be scored. I don't think that's surprising. They won the game. That's what's most important. After Cleveland, they had to win that game, and they have to give a pounding to Cleveland. And I'll say that. I think that retribution game for them is going to be big.
I think that's going to be an absolute massacre. I'm going to predict that.
Plus,
right,
Cleveland
now
plays tonight in Denver. They got to fly back.
Exactly. Then. I think that's going to be an organizational win, and I would compare it to the one where Myles Garrett attacked Mason Rudolph, and then, at least according to Mike Tomlin, lied about what Mason Rudolph allegedly said on the field. And the next game was Duck Hodges here against Cleveland. Remember that a couple weeks later, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying and writing at the time, this will be the Steelers organization announcing their superiority over the Browns, and the Browns lost to Duck Hodges. They lost to Duck Hodges that day. And the same thing is going to happen here. This will be an organizational win. And I've been critical of the Steelers in their mediocrity in recent years. But mediocrity is a step up from what the Browns historically are and what they are back to. This is a vastly superior organization to the joke that is the Cleveland Browns, and that will be borne out Sunday with a blowout win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd be anxious to see what the point spread is in this game, because those people in Vegas are aware of all of this stuff too, and that factors into what we see. So I'm guessing it's going to be beyond 8.5 points. I think it's going to be a bigger line than people think.
Really?
Yep. I think.
Wow. Beyond 8.5? Do you agree with that? Limits?
No, that seems pretty wide.
Okay, just because you're conditioned to think the NFL is always going to be tight.
I think it's
going to
be half that,
Bob. Then good for you. You should bet it. Then you should bet it. Because I'm looking.
Beyond 8.5?
I think it could be a 9-point spread in this game. Yes, I think Cleveland is bad enough and Pittsburgh is motivated enough. And people know that, as you said, this is going to be a response to what happened in Cleveland. And this is going to be a game the Steelers will win, I think, rather handily. Now, I know it's an AFC North game, and I know they're capable. I know what they just did.
No, I just said I think they're going to win by blowout, but that's a different story than what Vegas thinks.
Okay, if it's 3.5 or 4, do you think people will bet on Cleveland and take those points? I don't. I think it'll ramp up. I think it may start at 4.5, 5.
I think it might be 5.5, 5, 5.5, 6.
All right, whatever. I just... I think if I'm looking at a number, I know that I think it's going to be a double-digit win for the Steelers. That's just how I look at this game based on the personnel, what I see from their offense. I think Jameis Winston can throw 5 turnovers in this game also.
Yeah, it looked like even with the troubles the defense had, T.J. Watt was back on track. Cam Hayward is unbelievable right
now. Isn't he? He's amazing.
How many guys 35 or older have ever played defense better than this?
Look at his numbers since age 30. Now, this is when normally there's a falling off point for people who play that position. He has gotten absolutely better than his previous 5 years from 25 to 30. I mean, it's unbelievable some of the stuff he's doing.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got all kinds of treats today. We're going to break down this game in every way imaginable. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So maybe, Bob.
Current line is 6.5.
Okay.
It's going to go up. I just saw Presto, who listens to our show, tweeted us all.
Beyond 8.5?
6.5. You didn't think it started 6.5. You just said so. It's going to go. I bet you when this game arrives, it'll be maybe not beyond 8. It'll be in 7.5 to 8 point territory.
Okay.
In the middle of the field.
That's what you said, Bob. You said beyond 8.5.
All right, I was getting exaggerated. My point was you thought it'd be a typical 4 point, whatever.
No, I didn't.
Six and a half.
Said 5, 5.5, 6.
Well, 6.5 to
now
start.
Now we're back to our and old listen, selves fighting. I like
I'm not
this.
Fighting.
Yes,
I'm
we are
I'm just telling
fighting.
You, not fighting.
I am.
I am not. I'm telling you that this line.
Isn't it ironic that in saying he's not fighting, he's actually fighting with that very line?
I'm not fighting.
What did I say? Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I'm glad that you have come upon us here, the Pump and Joe Show. You can watch us on YouTube. You can watch us through 93.7thefan.com. Hopefully you're listening on your ride today or listening at home or listening on your phone. Maybe this is the best way to phrase the question. Maybe. And sometimes Bob has a better knack for this than me. Are you feeling better or worse about the Steelers since yesterday? I can't believe that anybody could be feeling anything but better. And yet, some of the reaction I hear is the reason I asked the question. To me, they proved they could win a different type of game, a shootout type of game. And yeah, the Bengals defense stinks. But, you know, Kansas City beat him by a point. Baltimore needed overtime. That's the type of games that those teams won with their quarterbacks against the Bengals. And now the Steelers have done it, too, by putting up 44. And I don't think the defense was that bad in this game. It was, to me, it was a winning performance. So, are you more encouraged or discouraged by this loss? I'm far more encouraged. I'm not discouraged at all by it. Limits, I'll present that question.
And Limits, answer this. I'm more encouraged because of Baltimore losing again last night at home.
Yeah.
That's another one. And I know that's a good Philly team the Steelers are going to have to deal with. But those are the kinds of games that Lamar Jackson is going to have, you know, be his nemesis until he proves otherwise. That was a big game for them and Philadelphia as well.
Right.
So that helps. Now you got a two-game lead with a tiebreaker in hand.
The one negative part, if you want to call it that, is I can't stop thinking about the Cleveland game and what we would be talking about today. I was looking at the tiebreakers between them and the Bills, Bob, and it gets a little bit convoluted. Obviously, there's no head-to-head with the Steelers and the Bills, so there's AFC record and common games.
Common games. That's a hard one there because you got to go back and...
Well, Baltimore, the Jets... There's a couple of others.
Yeah, but what happens if that's equal? Then what's
then
the
I
next
don't,
one down?
I don't know.
If you're going to do common games, is it points in those common games? I hope not.
Strength of schedule. Let me look at that. While Limits answers our question, clearly this was more encouraging than discouraging. Was it discouraging at all for people out there? Not for me, Limits.
Well, I think that I'll start with the negative. I think the discouraging thing would be that Joey Porter Jr. has more flags than were planted on fields on Saturday. I mean, how many did he get flagged for?
Look at that line.
And I'm sure people saying, how discouraging is it against Joe Burrow in that offense? That's a top five offense in football. So
that's
what I would be.
That was a good line, Bob. It just registered with me.
Yeah,
did you like that one,
Arch?
Did you have that rehearsed, Limits?
No.
Very nice.
Come on now. You can be honest on our program. You didn't just come up with that one. You knew you wanted to use it at some point today.
I might have thought about it yesterday, but I did not think about it at all today, to be completely honest. No, I was a little bit relieved, to be honest, to see that they could put up that amount of points. Now, I expected a good outcome. I thought they'd lose the game, to be honest, with Cincinnati on the ropes and needing to win
so
that game to have a chance to even sniff the playoffs, which they're probably out of right now. I was encouraged that and really relieved they could put up that amount of points despite Cincinnati's defense being so bad because we hadn't seen it in years. The highest amount of points that have been scored since 2018 by a Steelers offense.
That was
limits.
Ben Roethlisberger still in the saddle. So
right.
That's how long
and,
it's
and
been.
And in the very prime of his career.
Right.
Limits, I have a homework assignment for you during our brief, very brief intermission.
What would that be?
So it's head-to-head. They didn't play. Best one loss in the conference. I think they... Check on that. I think they both have two losses, if I'm not mistaken, in the conference. Am I right about that, Bob?
Buffalo only has two overall, so I don't know where they can. I didn't look at their schedule.
Then it's common games, and thus your assignment begins. Common games, and then it's strength of victory in all games, which now, has to be Buffalo because they blow people out all the time.
Yeah, that's the problem with strength of victory. I
don't know that you're going to get there. I think the Steelers might win on one of the other two here, Bob.
That all depends on what happens down the road. You see the Buffalo schedule, although it's tough with Detroit coming up. After that, they have, I think, the Jets twice and Cleveland.
Right.
So they're going to end up with, 10, 13 minimum. They could end up 14.
Plus, they just clinched their division, which sometimes has a way
not when you're after the number one seed.
Changing your mindset.
You think that
it just does.
You don't,
it just does.
Oh, maybe so, but they have a lot to play for.
Sure they do.
Why would you stop?
Well, you're not going to stop. You're not going to sit people. I'm just saying it could play into their mindset.
But people are going to get, you know what's going to happen. If somebody gets injured of significance, people will always say, you already had a division clinch. Well, in the days where you had two byes, okay, I get that. When you only have one bye, and as important as it is, I think, in the context of today's football, you need that bye. If you're within distance, you fight for it.
The Steelers have a real chance to get to 10-3 now. Buffalo has a real chance to lose, certainly in Detroit. That's one of their games coming up. And then they're at the Rams, which is never an easy game against that coach and that quarterback. You don't know what's going to happen. Weird things happen when teams go west. My point being, by continuing to win, the Steelers could set up an awfully, awfully interesting game on Christmas Day against the Chiefs. There could be a lot at stake. They're still in that conversation.
By the way, but no buffering. That's on KDK TV. Every time I get a chance,
buffering.
I'm going, no buffering. We have it for you on KDK TV.
Which is another reason. Everything we're saying is another reason why that loss to the Browns sticks in your craw, Bob. Where is your craw?
My craw's not looking backwards. We're looking forwards.
What is a craw? It's going to look backwards if you miss out on the number one seed by a game.
Okay. I understand that. You know, so will a loss to Indianapolis, I think. So
I think Cleveland way more.
Okay, maybe so. But Baltimore also lost to them. You know, they beat people once in a while, and, you know, it was one of those games.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you can do that all you want, but you can also make it irrelevant by winning a lot down the stretch here.
You could.
So.
You could be setting up a very, very critical game against the Chiefs. Bottom line is you want as many home playoff games as humanly possible. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
I don't know. I'm hoping this is more of a joyous day. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of a diehard Steeler fan. What I would have seen yesterday would have been greatly encouraging to me. Forget everything else. Just forget everything else. You have a quarterback. You have a quarterback in an offense that's capable against somebody. Yes, I know it was only the Bengals. Bengals are second last in the NFL in points now that they've given up 44. What were they, fourth, third, last? I don't know. Well, last year the Arizona Cardinals came here. Second last in the NFL. Did the Steelers take advantage of that? I must have missed that. I could rattle off 15 crap teams they faced, crap defenses, in the last however many years that they've been unable to take advantage of to anything like what happened yesterday. 44 points and 500-plus yards. That's what you do to teams like that. It's what you should do. So to me, I would be ecstatic if I were a Steeler fan. This would be a day of joy. Yeah, the defense gave up points. A lot of teams do to Cincinnati. They have a superstar at quarterback and two great receivers, but they also forced that quarterback into three turnovers. They stopped him on the opening series of the game, three and out. Keanu Benton, by the way, first two plays of the game, made two very nice plays. They stopped him at the end of the half. And those are the types of weighty possessions, to borrow a phrase, that can help win a game for you. And then in the second half, I mean, the last touchdown, I think you're in prevent defense at that point. But bottom line, you scored a touchdown on defense. You gave up 31, so it's a net 24. I'll take it. Net 24. That includes three turnovers from your defense. To me, that's so far the secondary story here to the fact that the Steelers have a quarterback. That was vintage Russ, by the way. And Bob, I didn't know that guy still existed. And I know, let's just have a little disclaimer at the top. It happened against the Bengals, okay? Why don't you tape me saying that, or tape Bob saying that in his deepest voice and use that as a disclaimer? Seriously, so we don't have to keep saying it. Bob, can you say in your best TV broadcast voice, yes, it was against the Bengals.
Yes, but it was only against the Bengals.
See how he spiced that up? Limits. That's why we pay him the big bucks here on Pomp and Joe. It's a beautiful thing.
Ain't that the truth?
412-928-9370.
But the thing about Russell Wilson is when he became available, I remember listening to some people who were ripping him for a lot of different things, like the game is over, he's not the same, they got rid of him twice, blah, blah, blah. But I saw last year's statistics, we talked about it when it would happen, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Throughout his entire career, you could look at all his stats. The one that jumps out to me is his efficiency with the low amount of interceptions, given how many times he's thrown the ball. He just doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, you know, and last year was the same in Denver. So that made me think this guy might still have something left. I don't know what, but, you know, if Denver's going to pay his salary, it's one of the best moves anyone made in this offseason to bring him in. I'm surprised more teams weren't, given how many quarterback needs there are in the NFL. And maybe it was just his choice. Maybe there were others.
They were probably scared off by the stories out of Denver. You know, the personnel. That's what I think they were. I didn't agree with them, which is why I was among the first on board, Bob. When Peter King would come on with me and Ron and say, he kept saying Russell Wilson at the end. The season wasn't even over last season. He said, there's no way Mike Tomlin's coming to camp with Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett as his two quarterbacks. He said, in a name that I keep hearing. If you can look that up at some point today, oh, limitless wonder. And I know you have a lot on your plate right now.
Well, you do put a lot on his plate.
If you can look up...
You know, Austin, I'm never going to ask you to do stuff while you're doing other stuff, while you're doing other stuff, and while you're doing other stuff. And he just continues to bark these demands to you.
I'll put it on my laundry list.
Find, if you would, Peter King. Just type in Peter King, Ron Cook, Russell Wilson. It was the Cook and Joe show then. It's the Pomp and Joe show now. But no, Bob, I think you might have been predisposed for a moment there. I came back and talked about how I would be absolutely joyous as a Steeler fan today, because to me, by far, the biggest story of the day was Russell Wilson and an offense. And yes, do you have the disclaimer already? Yes, it was only the Bengals. I get it. But last year they had an Arizona defense come in that was also second last in the whole NFL. Yeah. Did they take advantage of that?
Yes, but it was only against the Bengals.
Please go, Bob.
No, you're right. Not only that, it was Arizona. Who else? New England. They came in after that, too. Two teams that they should have clobbered based on statistics. Here's an interesting stat. And stats guy Daniel, who does a good job covering Steeler kind of interesting stats, says the Steelers are the only team in the NFL this season to win both the game they didn't score a touchdown. They're 2-0 when they don't score a touchdown. And a game where they allowed five touchdowns. So that goes to show you what I talked about at the beginning. We were mentioning how they can beat you. They can do it in a variety of ways.
That's a beautiful thing to me. I mean, obviously you want to play a little better defensively. Please don't get me wrong.
No, absolutely.
But you forced the guy into three turnovers. You had key stops and you scored a defensive touchdown. You should win that game every single time against that Bengals defense if your defense has a net of 24. 412-928-9370. Phone lines, Bob, are lit up like Mulsey at a craft beer house.
Good. Glad
Crowley,
to see that.
People like Crowley learning that Neil Brown was fired.
No, I think he probably expected that. So there wasn't, although he's excited. I'm sure he was excited. That's going to be another interesting, what country roads will lead somebody home there. I'm not wondering who it may be.
How about Rich Rod coming back?
Rich Rod's
like
a name.
Well,
he's done well at Jackson State. They've turned that program around under his watch. Not that it's, a big-time program, but they've gone up into the status. So
let's look at Buffalo for a minute, Bob. And that was a great game last night. Both games were great. And they're going to be tough to beat. But they're not without warts either. And they might be a decent matchup in the sense that they give up a lot on the ground, yards per carry. You saw what San Fran did to them for a while last night. I think absolutely. I mean, come on. This Steelers team would have so much of a better chance of hanging around with that Buffalo team than last year. And I know T.J. Watt didn't play, so it was kind of skewed from the beginning. But I guess I'm mostly talking whether it became a game in the 30s, 20s or 30s. I don't know. I'd feel much better about that. I don't think I would predict the Steelers to win that kind of matchup. And we might see that matchup in the divisional round. Who knows? But I would feel so much better and feel like they have a legit shot. That's what I'm feeling. There's nothing that's dissuaded me from feeling like the Steelers are legitimate contenders again, finally.
Yeah, I mean, I have to look at it the same way. The defense is good enough to make plays when they have to make plays. The offense can win by running the football well, and they can also throw the ball now. And Russell Wilson's a guy who doesn't make mistakes generally. You can discard the first one. That was a weird situation. But normally he's very good about when to get rid of the ball. You notice sometimes when he's rolling, he just throws right in the ground as long as he's out of the tackle box. He's smart back there. He knows what he's doing.
Injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Alex Highsmith out again. But, man, was Herbig. He was good again. He played like 80% of the snaps. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's get to the phone lines, oh limitless wonder.
Well, let's start with Joe in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, number one, very encouraged, and that can even move forward with number one. We finally have quarterbacks, and yesterday, after sitting in the stands and watching over the past several games, the middle of the field open, and they don't throw it, yesterday they did. How many times did they throw it over the middle yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati made that so available. They just ignored the entire.
What were they doing? How many times did you have a running back leak out and run the middle?
Just leak out, and they knew it was going to happen, and they couldn't stop it.
God, do they stink.
Absolutely. You're sitting in the stands, and I'm up in the middle on the 50, and at the games, and you see this open. Why aren't they throwing it over the middle? They do that. It opens up more for the running game. It opens more up for the down the lines on the side. The other thing that you're very encouraged about is Baltimore lost the game again. That was great. And then as far as discouraged, we got, something has to happen with Pickens and stupid plays like that.
Well, we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about him at the top of the hour, and I appreciate the call. Man, just this Justin Tucker meltdown. He might be single-handedly keeping Lamar from winning MVP. If they're sitting here with 9 or 10 wins, then he is still very much in that conversation, if not the leader. I know there's bigger issues than that, but Tucker has been a disaster of all the people.
Well, of all the people, right? And yesterday he accounted for 7 points. That game changes dramatically if he makes those kicks.
Yeah.
As it did in the Pittsburgh game here. You know, there were, I think if you give, if he makes the kicks he's supposed to make, the second half of that game changes a little bit, and the outcome may have changed as well. So, yes, you're right. But kickers go through this. We saw Boswell a few years ago.
He had that one year.
Yeah, that one year where they were in, they were due a payment. They kind of held back on it. They weren't sure what they're going to do. It's just part of that. It's a mental challenge. It is.
I mean,
it's like golf when you go bad.
Yes,
when you start shanking the ball, now you know, Joe, because you play. When it starts in your head and you can't control it, and you got to figure out a way to get that and exercise that demon in your mind.
Oh, I can feel it with him. You really can't. I think about golf when I watch those guys hit the ball, and I watch Boswell. Nice follow through. He's confident that everything's going down the middle. And Tucker, they said almost every miss, I know one was different yesterday, has been to the left.
One went to the right yesterday, which means he's trying to compensate like a golfer does.
Oh,
I keep coming back to golf, but it's true.
It's almost painful to watch.
It is.
Because you can just tell what he's going through. Listen, but he's costing them maybe the division and costing Lamar the MVP single-handedly. Meanwhile, Boswell's unbelievable. He's the now the fourth most accurate kicker in NFL history, Chris Boswell.
Yeah, he may be the best kicker in the game right now. I don't know that anyone else.
Harrison Butker is one of all time. I forget who's two. Justin Tucker is either two or three, and Boswell's four. Boswell may finish his career as the most accurate kicker who ever lived. And if he didn't have that weird season,
God,
he'd already be that.
He'd be that guy. Yep.
That outlier.
He is the Steelers version of La Machine when Chuck Knoll was describing Gary Anderson that way. And he went, remember Gary Anderson go to the show about the life of a kicker? In Minnesota, he had the entire season of perfect kicks. But the one kick he needed in the postseason, he didn't make.
Who was, their offensive coordinator, Bob, those Vikings? Brian Billick.
Was it Billick? Wow.
Yes.
But it was, you know, the Bill Buckner moment. You remember a lot of things in Minnesota. All they remember is a missed kick he made. But he was perfect the entire year.
Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Next.
Well, let's go to Mark
on the
road.
It's like the deli line, Bob. Met your giant eagle.
Yeah, it gets a little complicated when you're in that line. Sometimes you got to wait.
Little anger sometimes in that line. Do you push people in line, Bob?
No, I always defer. I go to the back. I don't like that. I don't like it. No matter who it is, you shouldn't. There's a line. Take the line.
Have you ever gotten into a physical altercation in a game?
No.
Has anybody pushed you in a scrum?
No.
Never?
No. I give off a pretty good vibe. I'm respectful of everyone.
I saw Bob Smyzik push a guy in Toronto. It was incredible.
Because
the guy pushed him.
Well, I mean, if someone's
a lot of you TV people tend to be very pushy from behind. That the reporters are already in a scrum, in come the cameras and the TV people.
Oh, you're talking about in a media setting?
Yes, in a locker room.
I try to hold as many microphones because I know how to. You know how tired your arm gets, though?
Yeah.
When you're straddled over a bench or something, twisting your body, you got to hold a microphone or three for about 8 minutes. Try that.
I know.
Well,
I had a guy hit me with the microphone. In the New York Rangers locker room during a playoff series.
I know someone
series.
Who patted you on the head.
That was you. I jumped over an equipment bag to get Henrik Lundqvist, or else I wouldn't have gotten the quotes because I couldn't reach that far. So I jumped over the bag and apparently jumped in front of a TV shot. And this guy from Quebec or somewhere went crazy on me and cracked me with a mic.
And you're not the kind of guy who's going to sit there calmly and accept that.
No, I let him know how I felt when we got back to the room. Saying, what am I supposed to not do my job? You're more important than me, so I shouldn't get the... It got real ugly.
But he may say, are you more important to me to jump in my shot?
Well,
this
I didn't
is my
know
shot.
I would then move your shot. Because we all have the right to interview the goalie. I'm sorry,
this
sir.
This is why I always... I think a simple solution to all this is just make it so that there's some sort of... podium available.
Yeah.
They do that in a lot of times, obviously, for coaches, but I think even post-game, it's better to do that in some of the scrum in the locker room. There's a lot of things going on in the locker room that you have to be aware of, not the least of which are naked people. And television, you know, in the background, you can see people lurking back there. If you're not careful, you'll put it on.
And has we that get happened in trouble to you before?
Oh, I've seen it happen, yes, to a lot of people.
That's horrible. I'm sorry, sir. We've interrupted your call. In fact, it never began. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
We're sorry. We filibustered there.
No, that's okay. Just wanted to mention a few things from the game yesterday. Definitely very encouraged after watching the game yesterday. About the defense, I really enjoyed seeing them dial up the blitz a little bit more in this game. I definitely think that benefited them, especially with the turnovers that it led to. Joey Porter Jr., I definitely think he is a great corner. I think he covers really well. I think he was in really good positions yesterday. I think he just kind of got caught with retaliating in some of those handsy calls.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Those aggressive receivers.
We're going to get to that at the top of the hour as well. Him and Pickens as sort of lightning rod stories from yesterday. What's your third point quickly?
Yeah, Steelers offense. I was really glad to see that they were really aggressive yesterday in their game plan and they were able to execute it. But in addition to that, I would like to say that I do think the Steelers Nation Let's Ride clips of Bob from early in the year are warranted given Russell's really great play yesterday and the week before. But thank you, gentlemen.
I think it's warranted, too. So let's hear him, me, and Donnie Football with our very best Let's Ride after they signed Russ.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride. You like it, Bob?
I remember doing that. I totally forgot until the guy brought it up. Now I remember.
Man, I love their aggressiveness too. Fourth quarter, leading the game, and they're in a sort of a hurry-up offense, going for the kill. I kind of like that. Didn't love Russ's throw against Baltimore earlier this year, sort of in that situation, but that was a different scenario, different style game.